You're listening to the Chaz's Report on 89.7 WUWM Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Dave Edwards, and Mike Lovell, the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee, is our guest. Happy New Year to you, sir.
Well, thanks, Dave. You too.
So the new semester is up and running, and as you begin every semester, you deliver a State of the University address. And I know back in January, you addressed the university community. You focused on a number of key areas, from enrollment management to student retention and capital projects. Let's take them one at a time. Let's start talking about the Chancellor's Council on Enrollment Management.
Sure.
What is that?
Well, over the last 3 years, we've seen a decline in enrollments, and we've discussed before. There's a couple of major reasons for that. One is the demographics from the state, so the number of Wisconsin residents graduating high school are going to go down for another 2 years. And Madison, over the last year, has accepted about 10% more Wisconsin residents. So those two things really have a negative impact. But it's more than that. We're also looking at, you know, why we have about 28,000 students when we had over 30,000 students back in 2010. And so last fall, I assigned two leaders on campus, Mark Mone, who's one of my designees for planning and campus climate, and Barb Daly, who's the inter dean of the School of Education, to look at how we can actually have a comprehensive enrollment management plan for campus. And so they've been working since the fall, and they, among other things, they hired a consultant two consultants, one from Platteville and one from Iowa State, two universities that have really grown significantly over the last 5 years, and actually are considered to be national experts in, you know, enrollment management, come and take a look at our practices, see if we have any holes or gaps in what we're doing and what maybe we should do differently. And we actually just a few weeks ago got Barb and Mark got their report, and then they gave me their recommendations on how to move forward with campus. And their number one recommendation was me to form a Chancellor's Council on Enrollment Management. And so we are literally just putting that council together, and with the idea is that we really need to have a very coordinated effort in all of our very diverse recruiting and retention activities, and also make sure we're communicating all of the information to campus.
Mm-hmm. So let's back up before we get to some of those recommendations. So if in the fall of 2010 you hit an all-time high of 30,500 students, and fall of 2013 you're at a 9% decrease in that, 27.8, what's the goal? I mean, is the goal 30,000? Is the goal more than 30,000? Or is it just to make sure it doesn't drop to 25,000?
Well, I think the first goal is to stabilize our enrollments. We know that, you know, if we just look at – if we don't do anything and we just rely on the demographics and our traditional yields, we're going to continue to go down for a couple of years. So we need some strategies to at least get our freshman class, you know, stabilized so that – because, you know, you have a smaller freshman class, you live with that for 4 years. And so a few years of decreased enrollments, it takes a while to dig back out of that hole. So the number one goal is, okay, let's stabilize our freshman class, you know, get it to be, you know, somewhere near 4,000 students, you know, which we've had anywhere between 3,500 and 4,200 students, I think, over the last decade in terms of freshman class. And so get that stabilized. And then, you know, look at our projections. We do want to try to have around 30,000 students, you know, I would say the traditional students, but also have another 2 or 3,000 international students. So really, I think we've set a target as a campus. We believe that around the ideal size would be 32,000 students, but with that, having 3,000 international students.
Mm-hmm. So really, I mean, you are now competing with Madison for students. You're competing a lot more aggressively with other campuses. No matter what the recommendations are, no matter what you do, it still comes down to much more competition.
Yes, and that's really the, I mean, because of the pool of students from Wisconsin, and remember, 88% of our students are from the state of Wisconsin. So when those numbers go down, you know, it really impacts us. And we have to look, if we want to have, say, 29,000 U.S. students and 3,000 international students on our campus, you know, we have to look outside of the state borders, you know, to try to recruit additional students, you know, to come to UWM.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I don't know how embedded this is in politics, but isn't one of the solutions just tell Madison to not take so many new students?
Well, I mean, I guess we could say that, but, you know, again, I'm not going to criticize Madison because, you know, they had the case just last year where they had a greater yield for their out-of-state international students, and they have a cap on them, which is somewhat artificial. It's just a number that they put on that not allowed to have more than 25% of their students from out-of-state. And so they went over that cap, and so the only way that they're going to get below that cap is to have more in-state students accepted.
Mm-hmm. So I want to deal with some of the findings that your experts came up with, because some of them are very interesting. One is, as you kind of alluded to, the recruitment and retention efforts. This is always a battle, right, to make sure that the student who starts in the freshman year completes their degree?
Yes. Yeah. And so, you know, one of the things we talk about a lot, you know, we only have a 42% six-year graduation rate. We'd be better off as a campus if we only enrolled 20,000 students but had over 60% graduation rate than having 30,000 and a 40% graduation rate. And so, you know, it's not just recruiting new students, but it's keeping the ones we have. And so that's, you know, one of the things that we've really focused on as a campus. And we've made really a priority of looking at where we're losing our students in the pipeline and what we can do to make sure that they have the support that they need to succeed.
Mm-hmm. So the recommendations also included following best enrollment practices what are those, and why was UWM not following? If they're well-known best enrollment practices, why was UWM not doing them?
Well, I think, if you look at our history, we've not been in the situation when we've really had to do significant recruiting. You know, we've just because, again, the way the demographics worked in the state back over the last, you know, 8 to 10 years up until 3 years ago, there were more students graduating, and so our numbers were just going up because of the demographics going that way. Now we're looking at the opposite trend. We need to change the way we do things. We need to be much more proactive in the way we go out and recruit students. Mm-hmm. And that, because it's not something we traditionally do, when you start doing it, you realize that you need to make sure that it's done in a very coordinated fashion. And again, there are a lot of efforts going on campus right now, and what we found is these diverse efforts, you know, you had schools and colleges recruiting, you had central, you know, within student affairs recruiting, and they weren't necessarily always talking to each other and working in coordinated fashion. You know, for example, if you have a general recruiter out of student affairs is out talking to someone, you know, outstate in Wisconsin, and they have a student that they find that is interested in UWM and maybe is interested in the business school.
Mm-hmm.
Well, we didn't necessarily have that person talking to the person from business school who was a recruiter, making sure that they were getting that student's information. So then we were doing targeted recruiting.
Mm-hmm.
And it gets even more – the neat thing about it is that the other thing that they found out is we are not using data and technology as effectively as we can, because now you can actually track who comes to your website, how far they go into the website, and where they go. So mm-hmm. if you have somebody coming to your website and they go – to information studies program, they're looking at the courses and things, you better have your recruiters targeting that person and making sure you're recruiting them, because they've shown an interest just based on where they've gone on your website. And, you know, before, you know, you couldn't do that in the past, but now there's software tools and other things that really help you find out, you know, what people are interested in and how you can actually, you know, do some very, very targeted recruiting for individuals just based on, you know, where they go.
Mm-hmm. Does all this ring true to you when you reflect on it? I mean, you meet with a lot of students, you meet with a lot of parents, probably prospective students and parents as well. Does all of this kind of make sense to you now?
Oh, sure. And again, when you look at the recommendations coming out of the report from Mark and Barb, most of it is it's fairly common sense, you know, and but it just really clarifies that there's it's really everyone on campus's job to do enrollment management. It's all our jobs to be recruiters. It's all our jobs to try to retain the students that we have. And we really need to have that general attitude. And I told the story at the plenary that I was at a New Year's Day party, and I met a young man who was a senior at Marquette University High School, and he was thinking about going computer science. And I said, well, where do you think you're going to go? I said, well, I think maybe Platteville or MSOE. And I said, well, you know, what about UWM? You know, we have a great computer science department. You know, our probably the next CEO of Microsoft is going to be one of our graduates. You know, if you're interested in the smaller classes, you know, more learning with, you know, involvement with the faculty member, you can always think about our honors college. And so I invited the individual to campus, and he's going to come. And I kind of walked out of there thinking, if every faculty and staff member on our campus recruited just one student UWM, all enrollment challenges would be solved.
Mm-hmm.
And so really that was one of the messages I gave them. I challenged them that, listen, go out and recruit a student here. And by the way, if you do, let me know. And I'll host a reception for you at Chapman Hall or at the residence, you know, at the end of the year for all the people that got at least one student here to campus.
Even on New Year's Day, you're working. I know another one of the initiatives, and I'm very intrigued by this, is we talk about student retention, is through a pilot program involving mathematics. Why is math so key to this retention?
You know, and I think we've talked in the past that, you know, first, we have such a large number of students that come to our campus and need remedial work. And currently, the number is almost always over 40%. But this year, 42% of our incoming students require remedial math. Hmm. And that actually becomes a really big hurdle, you know, for our students, because the six-year graduation rate of a student that requires remedial math is just 24%. And if you compare that to students that don't need remedial math, I think it's over 60%. So it's just it's a really important problem for us to solve, because if we want to retain our students, this is the biggest area that we should be working on. This will get the biggest bang for our buck. And so we've kind of talked and challenged our math department. Is there any way we can, you know, make this remedial math not such a big hurdle for our students, so that they can get through it really quickly and not easily, but if they put the effort in, they're successful, so they can go ahead and go on and start taking classes for credit. And so I was really, really pleased this past fall, led by Dr. Kyle Swanson, who's the chair of the math department. They did a pilot study, and they taught math in a completely new way and in a very different way. And so it ended up being wildly successful. And just to summarize what they did is they took – there's two remedial math courses. There's Math 90 and Math 95, which are six credits, three credits each, so it's six credits. And usually they take those on sequential semesters. So it usually takes a whole year for a student to get out of remedial math. And what they decided to do was, first, they're going to teach a new course called Math 94 that contained all the content of those two classes in one semester. So it's essentially a six-credit course in one semester. But instead of teaching it using traditional methods, they used a flipped classroom. And what a flipped classroom is that the students, before they come to class, they watch a YouTube video that covers the content of the material they're going to be covering in the class that day.
Okay.
And then they use the class time to actually do essentially what we call their homework, but actually essentially work problems in teams of students on problems that are practical to the material that they learned, saw in the YouTube videos. And the instructor is really helping them solve the problems and guide them through. In addition to this, they actually use a software program called Alex that they use outside the class, which is an artificial intelligence software that, as you're solving math problems, it knows where you're having troubles. And so as you're having trouble in certain areas, it actually takes you down a path that helps you get competent in the areas that you're struggling in. So you'll spend more time on the areas you're having difficulty with rather than just the general, you know, types of problems you're solving.
And feeling lost.
You're feeling lost, yeah. Yeah. And it was just phenomenal. And so the results of the course, you know, far exceeded, I think, everyone's expectations. As it turned out that 84% of the students who took the pilot class completed, you know, again, the six credit, you know, two semesters in one, 84% yeah. finished and passed. And the students that didn't pass, which I think were only three, they were able to track how much time they spent on the course between the videos and Alex. They can track all this. They spent less than 30 hours over the entire semester. So it wasn't because they didn't have the ability. It's just because they didn't put the time in. And if anybody put in over 100 hours into the course, they got a B or an A over the semester. And so it was phenomenal. But that's not the end of the story, because one quarter of the students, okay, that passed the 94 course then went on and try to take Math 105 in the same semester, because this is a self-paced course. So you can get done early. And 25% got done early enough that they went and took a four credit, you know, Math 105 course, and 83% of those students passed. And again, and this is in one semester. And so they essentially, some of them got through nine credits of math in one semester. And just put it in perspective, is that only 46% of students ever that start remedial math ever pass a 100-level course.
Wow.
And so, again, more than double this group, and it was almost
might have implications in other teaching environments, too.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. So I know we spent a lot of time on that, but I think that's a pretty exciting thing.
Yeah, I wish they had that when I was back in school. You're listening to the Chancellor's Report here on WUWM. Mike Lovell, the Chancellor of UWM, is our guest in conversation, and you got a new boss.
Yeah, it's pretty exciting. You know, Ray Cross was named the new UW System President on January 9th. And he actually was introduced as the new president on our campus the next day.
Mm-hmm.
And I do think it's pretty symbolic that Ray chose to be introduced to the media at UWM rather than in Madison. Because I think one thing I will say is, you know, I've worked closely with Ray for a couple of years, and I believe he really does understand the importance of Milwaukee and UWM, you know, to the impact that we can make on the state.
Mm-hmm. A lot has been written and spoken about the fact that one of his very first things, other than coming to UWM, was to make the rounds of the Capitol in Madison. He's not even officially on the job yet.
Yeah.
And I think that that sends a message for where he thinks his priorities need to be.
Yeah. And I think, you know, one of the things that I think was unique when he got named, before he was named, we had several of the legislators actually come out publicly and, you know, support him. Mm-hmm. As in his candidacy, because I do think that people within the legislature did feel comfortable with Ray, and he worked very closely with the governor on the Flex Degree program, which again is had a great impact on our campus. And so, I think many of the decision makers in the Capitol felt like he was the right choice. And again, when you're trying to repair that relationship, we're trying to repair what's going on between, you know, the UW system, the campuses, and the legislature. You need somebody who, you know, has credibility there and that people support. And, you know, I will say, as of our chancellor colleagues, you know, when we got together and met with the search committee, it was pretty clear that there was a consensus among us that he was the right person for the job as well.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, we kind of made light of it. I mean, he is your boss. I get that. But he has great influence, not only over the entire system, your campus, all the other campuses. If there's one thing that you hope that he concentrates on that could benefit your institution, what would be that area?
Well, I think when he did his very first interview, you know, right after the press conference with Karen Herzog, and the article, his very first quote in the article in the paper the next day is that we need to bring more resources to UWM because of the impact that it will have on the state. And so I think that new money that would be coming into the system, channeling a good portion of that to Milwaukee because, you know, we are part of the solution, and maybe redistributing some of the resources that they currently are being allocated towards UWM from some other places. I know people like the term reallocation, but I think that it's very important that we try to align, you know, the resources that the system is getting, you know, to make the most benefit, you know, for the state. And I truly believe that more, you know, funding to UWM will go a long way to doing that.
Mm-hmm. So his predecessor, Kevin Riley, before he left, created the UW System Working Group on Funding Allocation. It seems like this dovetails very well.
Yes.
And I know that you're part of a working group. And so where do you see your working group? Where do you see this task force heading?
Yeah, so this actually came about because in the budget this year, the legislator, you know, gave the task of the system to come up with a new model for GPR, you know, program money and tuition allocation to the campuses. There was two things I think that the legislator was looking at. The first was, is they didn't, through the whole thing with the surpluses, they didn't understand how the money was being distributed, you know, out. And as a matter of fact, I think it had been something that was developed in the early 1970s and had just been tweaked a little bit here and there over the years. And so I think it had become pretty convoluted on how the resources going to the system were making it to the campuses. And so they wanted it to be more transparent, a little more simpler so that people can understand. And the second thing is they wanted us to take a look at the way the tuition was being allocated to the individual campuses because they weren't sure it made a lot of sense the way it was currently being done. You know, the, mm-hmm. And you know, and when you take a look at the GPR and tuition, the base comparison, you know, just as an example, you know, Madison gets about three times more GPR and tuition than Milwaukee does. And their student body is, you know, only about 25 or 30% larger than ours. And so it doesn't make sense that they should necessarily get three times more of the resources from the state.
Mm-hmm.
And so things like that, and, kind of looking at, per student, that both Parkside and Superior get more money per student than we do, as an example, per student, but they're not research universities, and research university obviously, should get more resources because, that's a little bit more expensive endeavor and really supporting a different type of activity on our campus.
Mm-hmm. I would, just based upon the way you're describing this, there's obviously going to be winners and losers if this report comes out with recommendations even close to what you're alluding to here. And so you got a new system president, you've got a board of regents that's very concerned about the way the system handles its money, and you have the potential for campuses fighting amongst each other as there's those winners and losers defined.
Yeah, and so and a couple of things, going into this, and I was pretty vocal, we had our first meeting in early January, where I said it's really important the process we follow, because it doesn't if we don't enlarge the pie, if we're not bringing new resources, then all we will do is fight over that pie. So whatever we do from this model working group, we actually need to have recommendations coming out that will increase the pie, so that we don't necessarily have winners and losers. And also, I said in the very first meeting, we have to have a way, if we're going to be trying to do this in a way that is, transparent and all of us kind of feel comfortable with, we really have to take a look at some guiding principles of the way we're going to interact with each other, agree to those up front, and so that we can, as we make decisions. The other thing I've also pointed out is right now, the way the funding's being allocated doesn't align with the strategic priorities of the state or the regents or the regents. We're not, some campuses do not necessarily benefit nearly as much as others by increasing enrollments, for example. If Madison's getting $13,000 more per student than we are, they're a lot more incentivized to grow their enrollments than we are.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? So there's things like that. So we need to align. So the other thing that the new budget model, needs to do, of the allocation is, align it with what the state wants us to do, so we will be incentivized to try to reach the goals of the state, because we know we'll be getting more resources to do so. And,
mm-hmm.
and just going back to what we talked about a second ago, if we are charged as a campus, to be an access institution where we need to do remediation, and we come up with new ways to have more students graduate, be more successful, we should be incentivized financially to do that, because remedial work is expensive.
Right.
Yeah. You know?
Right. Well, good. Well, being on that committee, I'm sure you'll be able to give us updates as we go along through that. I wanted to talk to you about some of the partnerships that I know you've been very involved in advocating for. And a lot of work continues to be done with the Medical College of Wisconsin.
And this is really, it's been really fun for me. I came here in 2008 with a vision of Innovation Campus. That was one of the things that led me here, because I knew the power of getting our basic scientists and engineers, across the street from the Milwaukee Regional Medical Center would do fantastic things. And now we're at the point where our first building's opening in March, and things are accelerating. There's no other way for me to put it, because our faculty are realizing they're going to be out there. The Medical College, faculty and staff realizes, hey, they're going to be across the street. And the discussions and things have really, picked up the pace. And, we're talking, it doesn't seem like a day goes by where I'm not hearing more information. Just tomorrow there's going to be a brown bag forum where we're going to have, some of our faculty and their faculty, giving lectures about their work to try to find better ways to work together. And this is all really, we're really starting to move towards a joint biomedical engineering program.
Mm-hmm.
And, we have these brown bags every week. They actually come in with newsletters, so they can highlight the work of each other so people can figure out who they might want to work with. And it's just, it's really exciting. And I really knew things had gotten to a new level with medical colleges. When we were trying to recruit Dr. Ellen Veely from Michigan State, she was a very, very high level cancer researcher. They were trying to get into our School of Public Health. And as part of that recruiting process, we had her visit some of the people at the medical college, and they were very impressed with her. And I got a call from John Raymond one day and said, listen, we'd like you to help recruit her here. We're willing to give up one of our endowed chairs for her. So in an effort to recruit her, you know, they were giving us one of their endowed chairs for one of our faculty. And I said, boy, that level of collaboration commitment, you know, that again, that talks about the deepening of the relationship and the faith that they have in us as a partner, that Dr. Vili isn't just going to come here and take the money from the endowed chair and not work with their faculty and staff, that they're really going to be – she's going to be embedded. And they actually also helped with her startup package where they gave her access to equipment and some tissues and some samples that, quite frankly, have been very expensive for us to do. And so she'll be doing a good deal of her research actually in the labs out there at college as well.
And what a big boost for the School of Public Health, which is fairly new onto its own.
Oh,
too.
Yes. And, I mean, she's, you know, she brings with us, you know, at one of these NIH cancer institutes along with her. And so it's just a really big coup, not just for UWM Med College, but all of Milwaukee.
Mm-hmm. So it's the big projects like that, but then it's even, you know, quote unquote, simpler things. I mean, even the developing of smartphone apps.
Yes, yeah. And this is, you know, this was something, again, we generated something a little over a year ago called the App Brewery. And it seemed like a fairly, you know, simple thing we were doing. We were training students on how to develop apps, and they were helping develop apps for people within the community, a lot of times for social applications. We talked, I don't know if you remember in the past, we've talked about them developing the app for the county about the transit system so you know when your bus is coming so you don't have to go out to the bus stop until right before it gets there. And this group is the number of students we're putting in the program is just growing by leaps and bounds. And one of the neat things for us is the students that are going into the program, they're getting jobs right away because there's a lot of employers that want these skills. And so one of the things that Joe Kirshner did, he's the dean of the medical college, and kind of his speech where he talked about this past fall about some initiatives he'd like to start when he was talking to his faculty, announced that he would like to support development of apps, you know, for the medical college, you know, for individual medical college. And, you know, he put up some money, and it was amazing. He didn't know, you know, how this was going to be taken. And as an aside, our first building out at the county grounds, we're going to have, you know, one of these, a site for the app breweries. We're going to have students working across the street on these apps that Dr. Kirshner announced. Well, as it turned out, you know, they were hoping to maybe get 20 or 25 proposals. They got 86.
Wow.
And you know, as I talked to Dr. Kirshner, he said he's looked at all of them, and they're all really good. He said they're going to have a really, really hard time picking. You know, he said he originally was going to fund two or three. He says he's going to fund a lot more, you know, because they're all so good. And the thing that amazed him was it was not just the doctors, you know, that put the proposals in. It was a lot of the staff. He said it really pervaded all aspects of their, you know, of their employees. And he said it just really, you know, he said they had all this pinned up potential innovation that they didn't know about, you know, and so now they've unleashed this, and there's no telling, you know, where this is going to go.
Yeah. And I know that UWM is also involved with BizStarts, the new downtown space for innovation. I think it's a good kind of parallel there.
Yeah, and so and this is another way. I think we all should be excited about what's happening in Milwaukee. I just see this level of, you know, innovation entrepreneurship is just growing, and it's growing, and it's great, organically growing in pockets all over the place. And BizStarts is, you know, it's obviously been an organization that's been around at all that really was, I think originally had started to really help and entrepreneurs, give them support on the business side, you know, of how, you know, give them some mentors or maybe some their first CEOs or help them with CEOs and kind of that management team around the students. Well, now BizStarts is actually moving into a physical location into the Slitch Park complex, where now they are going to have things like the App Brewery and other things where startup companies and small existing companies can go to get the resources they need to grow. And, you know, one of the things is that BizStarts now has an academic partnership that includes not only, you know, UWM, but Whitewater and MSOE. And we're all going to be kind of there to help. So, you know, companies and startups can come in and we can help them meet their needs by putting students on these projects. And again, it's a great experience for the students. They're getting real-world practical applications, which is going to help them get their jobs. But also, it really helps the companies when they're going through these growth pains, which is, and really is you know, if you look at startup companies or small companies that are trying to grow, it's difficult because they don't necessarily have the people and the resources they need, but they a lot of times have the ideas and you know, the potential customer base, so it helps them, you know, achieve those customer bases mm-hmm. and really, you know, helps their development.
A lot of exciting things going on. We are out of time, but I want to thank you, as always, for joining us again this month. Mike Lovell is our guest in conversation. He, of course, is the Chancellor of the University of Wisconsin-Milwaukee. I'm Dave Edwards. Thanks for listening.